For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from the Bojangles Studio and Black Powder Headquarters high in the mountains of North Georgia. O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Yes, indeed, and it is a great morning. It's a great weekend. Everybody's feeling fine, and it's time for us to talk outdoors for the next couple of hours, and we hope that you will join us. It's my pleasure to tell you that this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid, Timbuktu Outdoors, True Turn, Roadrunner, Crocodile Bay Resort, Striplings, Works Tools, The Whitetail Institute, Rugged Ridge, Jeep Parts, Thoroughgood Boots, and the Governor's Gun Club. And we do this every Saturday morning, and we have been for some time. It's 7 after the hour, and we hope you'll join us. It's my pleasure to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside Television on Pursuit Channel, Fox Sports South, Fox Sun, Fox Arizona, Tough TV, Hunt Channel, and it goes on and on. And this week, Travis is in Texas, hunting coyotes, and you'll be surprised at the length of some of those shots. We're talking 500 yards. I don't think I've ever tried that before, but at 26 or 27 years old when he took that shot, he is a steadier hand than his grandfather does. We'll have the silent hero, the Medal of Honor, and I will direct you right now, because I do have time, to O'Neill Outside, to our Facebook page at O'Neill, pardon me, our web page, O'NeillOutside.com or .net, and right there on the homepage you will see the Zach Brown Southern Grind guest book. Leave your comment, leave your question, and if we use your comment on the television show, then Zach Brown will send you one of his very exclusive American-made Southern Grind knives. This is one, is called the Jackal Black and Tan, and I keep that one in the truck. It's an outstanding piece, and you'll want to keep it forever and forever. So, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. First break coming up, and then we have many more calls, and we've got them lined up right now, and I appreciate your participation. We'll be back. Hi, radio. Every Saturday morning, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the SB Nation, WSB AM and FM, and, of course, on Facebook. And somebody has written in on Facebook asking about staging hunts or providing hunts for the disabled, especially the veterans. I'll point you to one in Atlanta, and there are dozens, if not hundreds, across the country. And it's an organization run by the firefighters, police, and in the Lawrenceville, Georgia area. And doggone it, the name escapes me right now. Operation One Voice, it's called. All the money goes to staging these hunts and looking after veterans. It's called Operation One Voice. And right now, let's catch up with Lake Lanier and catch up with Mac with the Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Lovely. I had you in mind this week before you get started, because I gave someone a tip that I learned from you.
Oh gosh, what was it?
This week, and it was the use of these big spoons.
Yep. Got to have one tied on.
Do you indeed? Yeah, why don't you just before you get to the regular report, describe this for us. This spoon, okay, its size, and how do you use it?
All right. The spoon has multiple applications, actually. What's unique about it is its physical size. They range about 3.5 ounces 8 inches long, which when you look at it, appears just massive. And it is compared to most of the baits we use. But if you look at that spoon and you look at a gizzard shad or you look at a big blueback herring, it's really, in relation to that, it's really not that big. Mm-hmm. So don't let the size intimidate you. You'll be surprised how many fish, small fish, will try and eat it. And it was actually designed by a gentleman up in Kentucky Lake area, Ben Parker, who's a guide up there, and he made it for bass fishing. Mm-hmm. We just took it, and he sent me some a long time ago, and we applied it to striper fishing. It does really well. The technique we're using primarily with it is what we call power reel, which that's a technique where you find, and it's mostly a summer technique, but you'll find fish in deep water. Deep is relative, but most of our southern impoundments, you're talking about water fishing in 30 to as deep as 70 to 100 feet, 70, 80, somewhere in there. All we do is get on top of the fish, drop the spoon vertically. Wherever the fish are, we go 10 or 20 feet under the fish. So let's say we see fish in 60 feet. We drop the spoon to 80, and then we reel it back up to 40. And we take the reel out of gear and let it go back to 80 and bring it back up to 40. Mm-hmm. And keep doing that. We don't jig it. Just reel it up and down, up and down. And the principle being they'll be scattered out pretty in a big range in the water column. If you're jigging in one place, then you're fishing for the fish that are right around the spoon. But if they're spread out over 30 or 40, maybe even a 50 or 60-foot range, you're fishing for all of them. Mm-hmm. And we think that vertical motion, if you think everything we do on the water as striper fishermen, we present baits either straight down, sitting still, or on a horizontal plane. This is vertical, and I think it gets a response when it's coming up through the water and it comes by a fish pretty quickly. He doesn't have a very big window of opportunity to study it. He's got to make up his mind to either eat it or let it go. And I think that's what triggers the bite. So that vertical movement, that's a big deal. So that's power reeling in a nutshell, but it's a very good technique. Right. If you're fishing a lake with stripers, you need to be power reeling.
You betcha. Great description. All right, what advice do you have to give to the August-September fishermen across the South?
Well, we're seeing a lot of fish, typical summer stuff, deep water, buried up in timber. And the problem on Lanier right now, I shouldn't say the problem, but what you're going to have to look at, you won't see a lot of fish sometimes on your sonar. You'll pull into these drains and big coves that feed into the major creek channels or into the river channel, start riding up these drains, and all this is detailed in much more detail on our fishing report online. But you might see 3 or 4 or 5 fish. You stop, and when you drop baits and you start power reeling, all that activity, you might see 3 or 4 or 5 fish in the tops of the timber. But there might be a couple hundred in that general area. Once you start fishing, you pull them all up under you.
Oh, boy.
And then better catch them as fast as you can, because once they won't stay long as a general rule. And when they get bored and leave, and I think that's what happens a lot of times, then you're done. It's like a pump that loses its prime. It's really hard to crank it back up.
I got you.
So get them while when you look. You get that nice picture on your hummingbird, and they're there. You better get them.
You betcha.
So, yeah, and that's where the spoon has another advantage in the power reeling technique. You can drop the spoon almost instantaneously. You don't have to go get bait. You can get him down there. And I like the power reeling technique in conjunction with bait because I think the added activity pulls fish up into your bait spread, even if they're not biting. Yeah, so there you go. I know I'm getting lengthy, but you just mentioned organizations that do hunts for disabled anglers and hunters.
Okay.
AOL does a fabulous job of that. That's Outdoors Without Limits.
Wait a minute, yes, indeed.
No, that's the other way around. It's early. Got my letters mixed up. But Outdoors Without Limits, fabulous organization, both from the aspect of people that operate it and the people that participate in it. I have been fortunate enough to take a lot of those folks fishing over the years, and it's actually a blessing every time I spend a day with one of them.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, the people that run it, the same. Good folks that really do something special that don't get enough recognition for a lot of hard work. People don't realize how much hard work goes on behind the scenes to promote and pull off one of those events, and they do it really, really well. And there's other organizations too, but that one comes to mind. Great folks.
All right, tell during the week, instead of waiting for us to talk on Saturday, where might someone get a fishing report from you about Lake Lanier and other lakes?
If they will go to Captain Max, go to our Facebook page. We put pretty detailed fishing report up there. We usually post it on Thursday or Friday nights and tell you what's going on, get you at least pointed in the right direction. So if you're going out on the lake, you'll have a a good idea of some depths or a pattern or baits that have been productive. So we're trying to do everything we can to get you ready and get you out there and catch some fish.
Preparation means a lot. If you look at your partner and you say, what do you want to do? And he says, I don't know. What do you want to do? Man, oh, man, you're behind the eight ball already.
Yep. You can still do it. But, it's you need to have that discussion before you're sitting in the boat after you just lost it.
That's exactly right. Mac, I'm glad you called, my good friend.
O'Neill, always a pleasure. Everybody enjoy the outdoors. We've got a beautiful day today, so get out there, be safe, have fun, catch fish.
You bet. See you later, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Always a great report from Mac. I see it's 19 after. Maybe I've got room to do this one. Alan is calling from Lilburn, Georgia. Thanks for holding on, Alan. Good morning.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you today?
Lovely.
Getting ready to pack up and move to Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh, my goodness. You can fish those lakes around Tallahassee and Jackson Lake, all those. That's great.
Yeah, Lake Talbert, and then you got Seminole not too far away.
You betcha.
And that's one reason I was calling. The main reason I was calling, I guess you didn't get to go pig hunting due to your back.
Right, I did not. Yeah, I had to cancel the pig hunt. I was on schedule, but not now.
I was hoping you killed about 50 of them.
They're still going to be there.
Yeah, oh, don't worry. They're there.
Yeah, so, you bet.
No, the reason I was calling, I went down to Tallahassee, looking for a place to live, and me and my son got a chance to sneak away, went to Lake Talbert bass fishing with shiners. And my question is, what is the ideal temperature to keep the water in your live wells or your bait buckets, because we use a lot, we shiner fish a lot, or even for blue herring or any kind of, live bait like mm-hmm. that. What is an ideal temperature to keep that water in them wells?
In the 60s, if you can.
Okay.
Anything above 70 degrees is going to be hurtful.
Okay. I've also heard that you never add ice, direct ice to your wells, that to take a water bottle and freeze them, to help bring the temperature down if it gets too hot.
That is correct. There are chemicals that you can put in there that would help too. And if you put ice in there, that dilutes the chemicals. So, yes.
Well, do you recommend a chemical to put in there to help?
I do. Any little thing. I'm sort of a detail guy. So if it says it helps, I'll try it and see.
Is there one you recommend?
No, not really. I don't have anything on the tip of my tongue, but there are lots of them. Give them a try. But, I would imagine you go through the baits real quickly, don't you?
Well, especially, shiners, gotten real expensive now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're kind of hard to keep alive, especially in the warm weather like we're having now.
You bet. Freezing the bottles will work. Alan, I got to go, pal.
I appreciate it, buddy. Good luck.
Stay in touch. This is O'Neill. Okay, you may begin, Paul.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by Fire Aid.
Hero cops rescued teens from a fiery crash, says officials. And they say they do this kind of stuff every day. Two Milwaukee police officers are being hailed as heroes after they dragged teenagers from a fiery overturned car during a harrowing incident that was caught on camera. Officers Nicholas Shield and Robert Reed were on patrol when they witnessed a car strike a utility pole and eventually burst into flames. You can hear on the video, "You guys back up, the car's on fire, back up." One officer can be heard screaming in the video. Well, the officers, Shield and Reed, and other officers from District 4 risk their own lives and pull the driver, a 16-year-old male, and other teenagers from the car. We knew that we were put in a position to help, and that we were able to do that, and I was thankful that it turned out the way it did, and we weren't expecting anything else regarding it. The two police officers stated they were just doing their job. The officers all over the states, the United States, they do stuff like this every day. They aren't recognized, and they don't know whose stories are being told. They have been partners for a year and a half. The driver of the vehicle and the other teenagers were taken to the hospital and recovered. And that is your Ronnie Thames silent hero description for August the 4th. And those are silent heroes. If you didn't look it up or hear it from O'Neill, you would know. It's 27 after the hour. Let's talk now to, let me get my screen working here. Let's talk to Donna. She's calling from Hall County. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. So Travis went out west to shoot coyotes?
Yeah, he's sneaky,
why didn't he
I'm telling
you. Stay around North Georgia? We have such a problem, and that's what I want an answer from you about what to do. All the stop signs in my county have lost cats taped to the poles. You can hear them. I would like to organize a posse or something to get rid of this problem.
I'll give you an illustration, and then I'll give a recommendation to you. I have a friend of a friend who is the foreman of a rather large farm/ranch in North Carolina. And he's owned that ranch every day. It's a little over 2,000 acres, and it is a working ranch. You know, east of the Mississippi, it's a ranch. West of the Mississippi, it's a farm. West of the Mississippi, it's a ranch. Okay, I'm fouling that up, but I'll get to it. And he's on there every day, and he has a rifle with him in the truck. Before he killed 200 coyotes, he trapped 2,000.
Oh, my.
So my point is, the only way that you and your neighbors in your community can make a dent at all in the coyote population and protect your own pets and so on is to have a professional trapper visit.
Tell me, where is this person?
I would suggest your best bet may be to go to and inquire with the Department of Natural Resources.
I did that already.
Okay.
Yes. No help.
They didn't give you any help?
No, not a person. No.
I see. You know how to find me on my Facebook, webpage.
No, sir.
Okay, well, it's O'NeillOutside.com, and leave me a message there, and I will source that information for you and maybe give you some qualifications so that whomever it is that you interview to hire to do this will be a qualified person.
Well, I'm in rural North Georgia. I mean, it's a serious problem. You can hear them howling.
Absolutely.
No one seems to have a solution. I'll do that. O'NeillOutdoors.com.
O'NeillOutside.
Outside.com.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do my best. And they will stay there as long as the food is there. Food and cover. And you cannot shoot enough of them to make a difference. If you're a hunter, I mean, think about how many days we spend in the woods as hunters with a rifle.
Well, I wish there were the thrill of the hunt of coyotes if there is for whitetail, but it's a serious problem, and they're considered vermin now, coyotes.
Yes. And see, there's no control on the coyote right now. He is...
Well, they're in Buckhead and Atlanta and everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. A long time ago in the southeast, I think I'm correct, there was a population of the red wolf, and he became extinct. And he was a diligent effort was made by the Department of Natural Resources in the southeastern states to reestablish the red wolf, because the red wolf kept the population of coyotes down.
Well, how can you reestablish what's extinct?
Well, they imported some.
from
and released them, but it didn't work.
They
tried, but it didn't work.
Well, I would like to organize some kind of like committee or association or whatever, because we have a very serious problem.
Oh, it absolutely is. The coyotes will actually hide out in the dark close to your home for you to let the dogs or cats out at night.
Oh, yes. My vet says to not let small dogs out. I mean, there's signs everywhere, O'Neill. The vet, the post office, missing little dogs, little cats. It's a serious problem. Mm-hmm. And in our area where there are all these chicken houses, mm-hmm. I think what's happened is they killed all the feral cats, and now they're going after pets.
Yes.
So who can, in Georgia, if you'll give some serious thought to this, I promise you, I'll give some serious attention to what to do.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let's work on it. And I'm sure today and next week also, if you're listening, maybe we'll arrange to have some people call and discuss that subject.
Super. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Good morning, whatever. Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. There we go. And, hey, let's see if we got time for this. 37, we got 4 minutes. We've got time for this. Let's talk to Henry. Hank the Yank, what do you say?
Well, my ark is complete.
How's that?
I built an ark.
Did you really?
Well, with all this rain, I figured I'd better do something productive.
I understand.
So I got my new riverboat.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, I have not been fishing.
Uh-oh.
I wish I had a better report for you, but unfortunately, I've not been fishing because it's been raining. You know, I'm on the river this time of year. I am not a lake guide this time of year. I am strictly on the Chattahoochee, and unfortunately, the weather dictates and the conditions dictate you weigh more on the river than they do on the lake. And with all the rain we've had, the river has been just blown out completely this last week. It just hasn't stopped raining, so there is not a lot of fishing to be done on the river. I will tell you that when the rain does stop and the river, the turbidity comes down and does clear up and we can get back out on the hooch to fish, that the striper fishing down the river has still been really, really good. We're coming into the last couple of weeks of that, usually by the middle of August, mm-hmm. give or take. Third week of August at the latest, those fish that have come up from the West Point Lake system all the way up through Atlanta into Buckhead and Roswell and you know, Sandy Springs area. Those fish will stick around till around the third week of August and leave, and they're really not that hard to catch. I will tell you this, striper fishing in the river is a whole lot easier than it is in the lake.
Yeah.
Because they're not in as wide a place.
Right.
You find a few deep holes, and you can find the fish. I remember you did a little of that with Mike Mobley years ago, didn't you?
I did indeed. That was on the Etowah. Uh-huh.
That's right. Well, we have a great fishery right here on the Chattahoochee. So that's one thing that's going on. And then my carp fishing, which, you know, I love. I've just been canceling trip after trip just because we can't get the conditions right. But the carp are there. I was out about a week and a half ago and was able to get out, and we saw plenty of fish. So the fish are still, you know, it's so interesting, O'Neill. The carp are a very spooky critter. They get really weary, and what we're doing is we're sight fishing to them in super shallow water. You'd almost think it would be like being down in the Florida Keys in a flats boat. That's kind of how we fish to these fish, and they can only take so much pressure before they get kind of spooky and get off the flats. And usually by the first week of August, those fish have gotten so spooked from all the paddlers down on the river, guys in paddle boats and in kayaks and canoes and stuff. But because the river has been blown out so much this year, the fish are still up on the flats in big numbers. So we've had a really, really good opportunity to go out and chase carp on the fly, except we just can't get the conditions right. So what we ended up doing was we ran up to Lanier just to kill a few days, and we went spotted bass fishing, and the topwater fishing for the spots is pretty decent. You got to go early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see more fish blowing up on top from, say, 6:30 until around 9 in the morning. So it's about a three-hour bite.
I got to go, but I'm going to do that carp fishing with you after I recover, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks before it ends.
Yes, we'll go out. We'll give it a shot. How you feeling, by the way?
I'm good. I'm getting better every day.
Good. Good.
Got to go,
next
pal.
Week.
There you go. This is O'Neill. We'll be back with the Medal of Honor. Okay, the featured portion of O'Neill Outside the second hour is the Medal of Honor.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Sergeant First Class Paul R. Smith, Iraq, April 2003. Sergeant Smith was engaged in the construction of a prisoner of war holding area when his task force was attacked by a company-sized enemy force. Realizing the vulnerability of over 100 fellow soldiers, Sergeant Smith quickly organized a hasty defense consisting of two platoons of soldiers, one Bradley fighting vehicle, and three armored personnel carriers. As the fight developed, Smith engaged the enemy with hand grenades and anti-tank weapons and organized the evacuation of three wounded soldiers. Fearing the enemy would overrun their defenses, Smith moved under withering enemy fire to man a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on a damaged armored personnel carrier. In total disregard for his own life, he maintained his exposed position in order to engage the enemy. During this action, he was mortally wounded. His actions helped defeat the attack and resulted in as many as 50 enemy soldiers killed, while allowing the safe withdrawal of numerous wounded soldiers. Sergeant First Class Smith's extraordinary heroism and uncommon valor are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, the 3rd Infantry Division, the Rock of Ages Marine, and the United States Army. And that is your Medal of Honor for this week. He is deceased. He died in action. Sergeant Smith. All right. 42 after the hour. And 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Here is headed your way some unabashedly self-serving promo. If you will visit O'NeillOutside.com or O'NeillOutside.net, right there on the home page, there's two things I would like to direct you to, please. One, you can click on the book cover and order O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. It's my personal observations of the people and the places along the way that I have spent in the outdoors. Guides, destinations, family members, and I know if you order the book, you will get something from it. And in that regard, whether it's an e-book, a paperback, which you can order, or eventually an Audible book, which will be ready sometime next week or so, $1 from the sale of every book goes to the Ronnie Thames Foundation for the treatment and rehabilitation of child burn victims. The second thing, again, self-promotion, at O'NeillOutside.net.com, whatever. Right there on that homepage, you'll see the Zach Brown Southern Grind Knife Guest Book. And if you will click there and leave a comment about the television show or the radio program, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, what you think we should talk about, what we should not talk about, your recommendations, your observations, then if we use your observation on the television show, Zach Brown will send to you a Jackal Black and Tan, black knife. He'll send you a knife, okay? And they're worth a lot of money. And but besides, their Southern grind knives are keepers. Those are the things that you will to your children and grandchildren. Okay, it's 45 after the hour, and this is O'Neill at 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. We'd love to hear from you. Woman Williams is not with us this morning. She's had 14 weeks ago, she had knee surgery in which her right knee was replaced. And the reaction to that intrusion of the mechanical device has made her anything but herself. And but she'll be back with us soon. Just a minute, let me, I'm dry. Hold on, I got to get coffee. What are your plans for the weekend? With O'Neill's surgery, I'm not hog hunting, I'm not fishing, I'm not doing anything except trying to rehab. So you have to take up my slack. I'm not out there shooting hogs or coyotes or, of course, deer, no. So you have to go more. And you have to take a kid along. So one of my favorite subjects in that regard about taking your children into the woods and enjoying a hike, try this, and maybe it takes, maybe it will take the experience to just a little bit of the next level. It's going to be a very pleasant day across the South and across the country, not all that much rain. And when you go to the woods today, when you go for that hike, when you go on that nature trail which you can find out all about at the Georgia DNR or Georgia State Tourism, there's dozens of nature trails for you to visit. As a matter of fact, there's one close by up here called Amicalola Falls. Gail and I live close to the falls. And that is the highest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Really? Yes, the highest waterfall east of the Mississippi. And you can walk to it and see it. And it is spectacular. But back to my point. Take a couple of kids and go for a nature hike today. And when you get into the woods, when you're at a place where there is no one else, it's just you, then just sit down and be quiet. Don't talk. Don't laugh. Don't make any observations. Don't comment as to what's going on around you. It will only take 10 minutes or less for the critters, the birds, the squirrels, the chipmunks, anything and everything that's there, from the crows to the hawks to the broad-winged hawks and red tails, to wake up around you. And you will witness more of what the outdoors has to offer. And then you can discuss it later. And maybe look up on the internet. Maybe you can look up some of the things that you saw. I know I have a good friend that visits us here often. And he pointed out to me what I thought was a red-tail hawk. It was not. It was a broad-wing hawk. And he pointed that to me, and I'm so proud now that I can recognize that bird, because he is a spectacular flyer. We'll get to that call in just a moment. But he's a spectacular flyer, and now even the amateur that O'Neill is, I can identify him as he soars by. And he's very appropriately named a broad wing, because his wings are thick, deep, and heavy. And he's noticeably different now than a red tail. So there you are. We've handled just about everything there is to handle, except to tell you that you can watch, because I do get this a lot during the week on Facebook and emails and various ways, to watch O'Neill Outside Television. I missed it this week. Oh, I missed the show this week. You can watch the show on YouTube. And you can watch all of the programs at O'NeillOutside.com television. All of the shows are there, every single one of them. And if you miss one, my goodness, I miss them often. Let's talk to Steve. We have time. Good morning, Steve. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to the program. Let me punch the right button. I wish I was better at this. There's Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the radio. How can I help you?
Well, I just hope you're feeling better. I listen to both of y'all every Saturday.
You're very kind. Where are you calling from, Steve?
LJ, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I remember talking to you last week. Yes, thanks for inquiring. I'm feeling much, much better every day.
That's great. I've got one question. Okay. In fact, I was going to try and help that. I've got an Australian Shepherd, and he chased off every coyote around his property.
Oh, yeah, good.
Anyway, my question is, now I got one quick question. I know you ain't got a lot of time, and okay. I won't take up anybody's time.
Take your time.
I'm going to get me a camping tent and go out in the woods for a couple months.
Oh, boy.
Now are the Army surface tents any good, and what should I do?
I haven't used one of those tents in 30 years,
I don't know.
I know that certainly lately the camping equipment, the ease of use, the safety, the durability and all are probably unmatched. From deer blinds to tents, unbelievably, I'm sure.
Well, do you have a Army surplus store you would recommend, sir?
The only surplus store that I can recall seeing of late is there's one in Jasper.
All right.
I think it's called Jasper Junk or Jasper Headquarters.
That's highly recommended.
Yeah. Jasper Junction is appropriately named, and it is in the little town of Jasper.
I know where Jasper Town 515.
Yeah, right at the railroad tracks.
Yes, sir.
But I've never been. I hadn't been in there, so I don't know what they might have. I've gotten lazy. If I want to go shopping, I just go to Amazon.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'll take a drift down there and everything like that and let you know next weekend what I got or what they got.
Okay, I've got about 30 seconds here, so tell me, what are your plans? Where are you going to go to do this little adventure?
Up in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wonderful. Up in the Cahuta Wilderness and so on?
Yes, sir.
Cahuta?
Yes,
well,
sir.
What a great idea. I'm sure there are lots of state park destinations and trails that can help you with that.
Oh, I know. I've been up there lots of times.
Okay, good deal.
But I've never camped. I just said, well, shoot, it's going to be my last rodeo, you know.
I understand.
So I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Yeah.
You bet. Well, okay, that sounds like a great adventure to me, sir. I envy you.
I envy you too, sir.
You bet. I'll see you soon, pal.
Have a blessed one.
You bet. I'll see you soon. There we go. And we're going to take a break now. It's our last break before the end of the program, and that gives us an opportunity right now to speak to my good friend Mike Hayes. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Williams.
Hey, what do you say? Gail is not feeling well this morning. I'll tell you what, this knee surgery has really got her, but I didn't want to fail to talk to you because you've got a special event coming up this weekend.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. It's all okay. For kids. You know how that goes.
Oh, yes.
Hayes Automotive has teamed up with the Rotary Club of Sugarloaf, and today at 3:00 we're at the Gwinnett Park Aquatic Center in Norcross.
Okay.
And it's free.
Oh boy, free! I like free.
Yeah, just bring the kids. Come on out, and if you buy a duck, if you're there swimming and have some fun, and you say, "Well, let's do a little charity work." You buy a duck, the duck floats down the big river raft and all that stuff, and they choose it. You could win $2,500.
Oh, my goodness.
Second place is 1,000. Third place is 500. So, O'Neill, it's a heck of a thing, and you get to swimming in a nice pool with slides and everything.
All right. Tell us again where it is so we'll know.
Okay. It's in Norcross. It's the Gwinnett Park Aquatic Center.
Okay.
4488 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, Norcross.
Yep. And I want all my local listeners to know what a great illustration this is, that for Mike Hayes and the Hayes family to always be involved in this type of community service. You always say yes. Do you ever say no to anybody when they approach you on things like this?
Well, try not to. O'Neill. It's a great thing, especially this one. It's got the Lawrenceville Boys and Girls Club and Corley Elementary School, Brookwood High School. That's just where we donate the money back to, and it's awesome.
Okay. Well, I know you'll generate a lot, and the fix is in. I've got a good friend over there that picks the ducks.
Well, he's got 3,500 ducks to choose from, so it's going to be a
goodness.
Blast.
Well, that's going to take talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, my good friend. Have a good weekend and a good promotion. I'm proud of you.
All right. See y'all. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye. Can a grocery store be so unique it can be a destination? Striplings is. People travel from all around just to shop at Striplings. Takes us 2 hours, but it's worth it. The deli, the seasonings, the prime ribeyes and fillets, special sausage, seasoned hamburgers, ultra-fresh shrimp and crab legs. Gail and I load up. Striplings is in Bogart near Athens. Give Striplings a try. Believe me, it's a great destination.
More and more students head back to school on Monday. Smile and Mark McKay for Scott Slay. Depend on Triple Team traffic and Kirk Mellish weather. Every 6 minutes on Atlanta's Morning News. Join us starting at 4:30 a.m.
Well, before we leave today, I want everybody who's interested, if you can take a look around the room. This is our basement. I call it a trophy room, but if you could look around and see what's here, it's a basement. But any charitable organization that would like to come and clean up my desk, you're welcome to it. It's been this way for 3 years. There's no telling what you might find on this desk. I know this. Look at this right here. You can see it on Facebook. This is my newest Southern Grind knife. Just the right size for some serious work. And Southern Grind makes many of the blades for the knives. They make the blade from old sawmill metal, sawmill blades. So you think this is going to last and last and last? You bet. I carry one in the truck, and I carry several in here, and there's one in my desk upstairs. Well, what a great adventure this has been. It's 58 after the hour, and we hope we get you started off right in the outdoors. Woman Williams will certainly be back next week. We certainly hope. O'Neill's getting better every week. I'm not going to lift anything heavy over the next over the next week. But thank goodness for special thanks to smart people who, like nurses and doctors, who studied at school and found out how to help people, like me, who repaired my back this past week, and I'm on the mend, and I'll be at full speed here pretty soon, I promise. This is O'Neill, and keep this in mind, whatever you do, wherever you go this week, if you're too busy to go fishing or hunting, spend some time in the outdoors and take a kid along, you're too busy. And I'll see you guys next week.
It's moonlight through the pines.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is Atlanta's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.